matter what people say, you got it going on. Who cares about what they do?
You know me, I'm the hottest in this
beat. WJMS, this is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beats, to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host, and all I can say is that I hope you guys are surviving through this corona apocalypse, because that is exactly what is happening right now. I cannot even say, you know, I hope you guys enjoyed your weekend, because what weekend, right? What weekend? What happy week? Like, I think a lot of us are still just trying to navigate and figure out what the hell is going on here. I mean, I don't know. I would say what weekend for most of us up here, I guess, in New York City, in the tri-state area, in most of the U.S., I would say we had no weekend, right? People were indoors. We're fearing for our lives. We're trying to, you know, find the last pack of ramen noodles at Target. We can't find cans of tuna anywhere. Like, it's crazy out here in these streets. However, though, apparently there's at least one place where people are having weekends and people are still turning it up and living their best lives, and that is in Miami. I've seen so many news coverages and clips of spring breakers who are like, YOLO, this is one life to live. We're not going to stop what we're going to do. You know, if we're going to die, but we're not going to stop partying. So apparently people are having weekends and living their best lives in Miami. But for the rest of us who are trying to figure out like what's next, that clearly is not the case. So today's show, you know, we're going to talk about some of the interesting things that's going on during Corona apocalypse. So, you know, this episode is going to mostly be centered around the coronavirus, but more so on the lighter side of things. Not so morbid. We'll be dropping some important information, as those of you who are listening in the New York area know that we are on pause. Apparently, Governor Cuomo put the city on pause, put New York State on pause, and I'll talk about what pause means and what this lockdown essentially looks like, because there's a lot of confusion still about what this actually means. You know, unfortunately, this is the culture that we're in. We don't like to read. We like people to tell us things. And so a lot of you guys have probably missed what the pause, you know, I guess, objective or initiative is. So I will be talking a little bit about that on today's show, trying to keep it as light. Because to be very honest, I know we are all tired of Corona. However, because the Rona is literally part of our lives, we can't stop talking about it. We can't stop being in tune with what's going on. But sometimes we just need a break, right? We just kind of want to not think about it, at least for 2 minutes. So I'm hoping that moving forward, because that will not be today, I'm hoping that moving forward, we will be able to, you know, report on some other things. We'll hopefully resume the guests. My guests now will all be remote. So I'm throwing it out there right now. I know I was going to probably push the campaign a little bit later. If you are interested and you're bored at home, but you know you have something good to talk about, you could lend to some real conversation. You could lend your expertise. If there's something you're working on that you want to share, I'm actually going to be, allowing. I don't know if the word's allowing, but I'm going to create some sort of system where it's going to be like an open chair situation. I was supposed to do this in person in my office. I was going to announce like an open chair weekend or something like that, where people could come in. They could, you know, send an email or slide up in my DMs and whatnot. Let me know if they're interested or if they want to be part of the show, and we would have a little dialogue to, you know, pre-screen them, because, you know, you can't have everybody up on the mic. And we were actually going to do like an open chair thing. Now, There is no such thing as in person for God knows how long, but that doesn't mean that we cannot continue the concept. So look out, you know, in the next week or two, follow us on IG, According to RP, on Instagram, or you could send us an email at accordingtorp@gmail.com. If you're interested in this open chair idea, like if you don't have Instagram, because not everybody does, but you're like, hey, you know, I kind of want to know some more information about this open chair situation. How can I get on the show? Send me an email. For the rest of you guys who live on the gram, slide up in my DMs or just look out for future posts about the open chair. So trying to keep this as normal as possible, we are going to continue on with our preliminaries. So it is now time for our Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Hopping on fleek, Gillette.
And it's going to be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week is hand sanitizer. So when I saw this on the Urban Dictionary platform, I was like, gonna use it this week. So this week's word of the week is hand sanitizer. The most expensive thing during the coronavirus. Example, damn, that hand sanitizer is expensive. Now, I know some of you guys are wondering, you know, what's this about? Well, if you don't know what this is about, then you are literally living under a rock. You might have been vacationing in Amish country, because hand sanitizer is probably by far one of the most expensive goods on this, I mean, in the entire, I don't know, maybe the entire world. I can't even say, before I used to make jokes like this side of the Mississippi, this is literally the entire United States, if not the world. Hand sanitizer is a hot commodity. Like, I think it might have been a couple of weeks ago, I think I might have posted on IG. I don't know if I had talked about it on According to RP on the actual show, but there was a kid overseas, I think maybe in the UK, that was literally selling squirts of hand sanitizer for 64 cents a pop. The kid got busted. He got in trouble, but he did make a whopping $11, and he said that he was using that to buy snacks. But I say all that to say this. Hand sanitizer is a hot commodity. You cannot find hand sanitizer. At least as of yesterday, you could not find hand sanitizer in Target, in the pharmacies. You could not find hand sanitizer in supermarkets. You cannot find hand sanitizer anywhere. I don't even know if Bed Bath & Beyond still, not Bed Bath & Beyond, well, them too, but Bath & Body Works, even if they have hand sanitizer. And people had a lot to say about the hand sanitizer from Bath & Body Works. People had jokes talking about, you know, the 20% alcohol and, like, you know, I don't know, 80% whatever the hell fragrance or whatever that was going on in there. But I will say this, I was able to snag two little bottles of pocket size hand sanitizer from Bath and Body Works. Somebody was so gracious enough to donate this for me in the time of need. And I actually saw that it had 60%. 60% is better than nothing. I don't know what the actual hand sanitizer, the actual Purell, I don't know what that actual percentage is in there, but I say 60% is better than nothing. So for those of you who were hating on the Bath and Body Works scented, you know, I think the one I have is Bellini, and there's another one that, like, a peach Bellini scented hand sanitizer. You were hating on it, hating on Bath and Body Works. Well, they have 60% alcohol in them. I think it will kill at least some of the Rona. Maybe not everything, but it will at least protect you a little bit. So that is the word of the week. I will say, though, I could understand, I guess, why hand sanitizer is a hot commodity. Like literally, I have a bottle here. I'm sure I can get some good money for it. I'm sure I could. But the other things that are really baffling. When I went to Target a couple of weeks ago, I think maybe 2 weeks ago, or maybe it was a week ago. I don't know. I've been inside so long, I don't even know what day it is. But when I went to Target on one of my Target runs before they were, you know, before they were doing all this quarantine stuff and telling people you can't leave your house, and before, you know, the threat was so, so real, like I felt comfortable in a supermarket. I remember that I was looking for just some essentials things, right? I could not find actual alcohol. I could not find hydrogen peroxide. I could not find cough drops. There were no cough drops at all. Now, from the reports that I've been reading, I haven't seen anywhere that said that cough drops is can either prevent coronavirus or assist you if you were to catch the Rona. I haven't seen reports, but cough drops are gone. The only thing that water. I could not get any gallons of water, any liters of water, nothing. I went looking for ramen noodles because aside from ramen noodles being struggle survival food, I actually like the taste of ramen noodles. I actually know how to create gourmet ramen noodles. Like I know how to make ramen noodles into a gourmet chef grade meal, right? So I actually like ramen noodles outside of the struggle. So I went to go look for ramen noodles. I was able to find two straggle packs of beef flavor. I don't even eat beef flavor. I'm a chicken flavor person, but I'm, you know, that's neither here nor there. Two packs of ramen noodles, beef flavor, that were hidden. It was as if somebody was hiding it and they knew they were going to come back later. It was like literally like wedged in behind something. Of course, I took it. I took both of them, but it was just crazy. And that was just like a week and a half ago. Imagine right now, I tried to do an Instacart the other day because I can't be out in these streets. I have my own health concerns, right? And even with the Instacart, I was kind of like, you know, throwing holy water on the door or whatever, because I just didn't, you know, you don't know who's picking up these things. However, the lady that came, she was a Muslim woman with gloves because she had her hijab on and she had her gloves on. She was practicing sanitation. So I was like, all right, you know, I think I'm good. But either way, if anybody's familiar with Instacart, what tends to take place is that you load up a whole bunch of things, you know, in your app, right, in the cart. And so the shopper now is interactive with you. You know, they're shopping. You can see what they've gotten so far. And then there comes a point where when they can't find something, they'll ask you, okay, could we replace it with this? Or, you know, can you accept the fact that you're going to get a refund for it, right? So half of my list was refunded. Like she couldn't find anything. And sometimes, you know, you have to wonder, are these people being lazy? Are they just saying they can't find it? You know, but I mean, I saw her and my spirit told me that she tried the best that she could. And she was like, I couldn't find half the things. There was no water. How was there no water in Key Food? Key Food had no water. I was trying to get cans of tuna fish because tuna fish, you know, helps with immune stuff and whatever. And again, not just for the crisis, but I needed it for myself. No tuna fish. So then I was like, all right, you know, I'm Haitian. We got to get the beans in the house, right? Let me at least get the beans because if something happens, because we don't know what's going to happen, let me at least get some canned beans, some red beans, some black beans, you know, so I could boost my iron and so we could just survive, right? No beans, no black beans, no kidney beans, no nothing, no nothing. I was like, all right. They were, however, able to find me some Gatorade. So I was able to get some Gatorade and there was no almond milk. I don't even know what's been sustaining me. I mean, I've been able to acquire enough food to put in the house, but what's been sustaining my, you know, weekly habits? Because I have a 13-year-old kid in the house who does not understand that we are in the midst of a crisis and he's eating boxes of cereal, like two boxes of cereal a week. This cannot happen anymore. And my almond milk, because we're both drinking almond milk in this house, is like, you know, there's a, the quart or whatever it is, you know, pretty much done after, I don't know, a couple of days. And that can't happen anymore. And there is a shortage of almond milk. I don't care what anybody says. I've seen some reports saying that there is not a food shortage. I don't know what shortage there is, but there is a shortage because I cannot find Honey Nut Cheerios. I cannot find water, and I also cannot find almond milk. Why is almond milk always out of stock? Bread is always out of stock. That sounds like a shortage to me. I don't know. So my corner store, thank you, Jesus, at least has been sustaining me. They have the almond milk. They have the bread. The one thing that I refuse to purchase from the corner store is the cans of tuna. They are in an abundance of tuna fish, both in oil and in water. However, I refuse to spend $2.99 on one regular can. It's not even like the jumbo can. A regular can of tuna fish is $2.99. I don't understand. I'm so confused. I'm not sure if these were the prices prior to the Rona. I don't know if these are, you know, after Rona prices. But either way, I'm just not going to eat any tuna fish because this doesn't make any sense. But either way, I don't even know how I got on this crazy, crazy rant. I remember I was talking about hand sanitizer being a hot commodity and how people are going crazy. And toilet paper. Toilet paper is also like non-existent. Now, again, because God always has me, I buy bulk from Amazon. And, you know, like those of you who are used to the subscriptions every you know, month or every 2 months, however you set it up, you have an automatic subscription, right? An automatic shipment comes to your house. I thought that I had canceled the paper towel and the toilet paper subscription. However, I have a kitten. I have a cat. I think he's a cat. I think he's a cat now. I think he's graduated to a cat. I don't know. But either way, I have a feline in the house and I ordered the litter. And so I saw a big box come into the house and I'm like, oh, this is probably the litter. So I kind of ignored it. But then the other day I was like, no, this box is a little bigger than normal. Why would they send the litter in such a huge box? So I opened the box because I was tired of seeing the box in my living room. And lo and behold, toilet paper. Toilet paper and paper towels. So now I could actually set up a side business. And sell paper towels above cost if I need to. Oh, man. I mean, sometimes you just got to laugh at these things because if you can't, if you don't laugh, you're definitely going to cry. But moving along, moving along. So we are up to one of my favorite sections of the show. Although I feel like this entire show is my favorite section. Like, I don't really have any. I don't think I have any actual like favorites anymore. But either way, moving along to one of my favorite sections of the show, it is now time for the big up of the week. Watch it. When you feel big up, all of the woman them big up, all of the girl them big up, all of the woman them big up, what? So this week's big up of the week actually goes to, I've bigged this group up before, the Brooklyn Combine, Greedy Kitchen, and Christian Cultural Center. So during this time of need, we're seeing a lot of organizations, a lot of groups coming together to help those who cannot help themselves. And I know last week I bigged up Anna, I know she got married and I cannot remember her last name, but we went to St. John's together. She is an educator and she had made a post about, you know, children who will not be able to get, you know, meals or who might be struggling for meals because of the school closures. And so this week we have this other, you know, trio, I guess I'll call it, who came together to assist the elderly population because, you know, we're out here worrying about the kids, which we should. We should be worrying about the children. However, we cannot forget the elderly. We cannot forget our old people. And those of you who know me know that I love old people. Maybe it's because my grandmother raised me. I don't know. But I have a very soft spot for old people. They're very vulnerable. And I find that a lot of times people forget them and they neglect them. And so these three came together, the Brooklyn Combine, Greedy Kitchen, and the Christian Cultural Center. People know it as CCC. Came together and basically they had a post. This was a couple of days ago. And the post said that if you or someone you know is 65 years or older or are in need of a hot meal, please call this particular number. All the meals were vegan. And the reason that they were vegan is that they were there to also boost the immune systems of our older people because, you know, they cannot be snacking on fried chicken and hemp hocks and all this other stuff. If we're going to be giving, we need to be giving right. Now, I'm not saying that vegan is the only way to go, but I'm saying at this time, we need to be worried about immune boosting meals for those who are less fortunate, who need that, right? And so they were basically doing this with Greedy Vegan. They were doing, I think, what happened? I think they had the meals were being donated by Greedy Vegan. The deliveries, you know, they were following the social distancing, but they were still able to put this together for the elderly population. I don't know how many more times this will happen. Hopefully I'll be able to get that information prior to you know, these donations, and I can repost. I'll probably just reach out to them so I can share that information on the According to RP page. But this is the stuff that we need to see during this time of crisis. Like, we all are very confused as to what's going on. And every day that we watch the news, it's like the timeline keeps extending. First, it was like, we're going to be quarantined. Some people were thinking it was going to be 2 weeks. Some people were like, maybe a month, right? I mean, the kids are supposed to go back to school allegedly on April 20th. That's literally around the corner. I mean, next week, I think, is what the last week, or maybe there's like a week and a half left of March. And then we're in April, right? I feel like since I've been home, like sunset, sunrise is all one thing. Like, I close my eyes and it's the next day already. Like, I don't know if you guys are feeling that, but I don't feel that, you know, the day is dragging. I feel like as soon as I wake up, like, you know, next thing you know, the day is over and then I'm doing it all over again. It's really weird. But what I'm saying is that there's a lot of uncertainty around what's going on. A lot of us have lost our jobs. I have been placed on furlough. I will not be getting a paycheck for the next couple of months. And, you know, I'm worried as to, like, how long will I be able to last with what I actually have? And a lot of people are feeling that. And so, you know, if we who are, you know, a lot of us who are professionals who, you know, hopefully had a little bit of something saved, or, you know, we're expecting that tax return to kind of help us out a little bit. But a lot of times these elderly people, all they had was like maybe their Social Security money that was coming in, and they don't really have like that extra to be, you know, stocking up their house with canned goods and things that are not even really good for them. And so it's really important for us to remember those who cannot. You know, if you have a neighbor who's elderly, or a young mom, or, you know, somebody who's going to need that, you know, needs that assistance. Like somebody had posted last week, I think we had shouted them out too. You know, when you're out getting stuff for yourself, maybe grab an extra of something just so that you can donate and give to that individual, that family, that old person who, you know, can't really get out to get things for themselves. So I definitely want to big up Greedy Vegan, CCC, and the Brooklyn Combine for really putting this together. And so hopefully we'll see a lot more of this humanitarianism going on during this time of crisis, because it's needed. And, you know, I've been seeing a lot of different organizations coming together, random strangers coming together to, you know, help, you know, that are still working from home and still getting a paycheck, to help their friends and to help people that they don't even know, you know, sustain themselves, because people are losing their jobs. And I don't even know what's going to happen with unemployment. I mean, they're saying that there's these stimulus packages, but can the whole country be on unemployment? I don't know. So a lot of uncertainty, a lot of fright, I would say. So moving along to our womp womp of the week, I actually don't really have a womp womp of the week to name, because this entire the entire news outlets have been bombarded with the Rona, with coronavirus. And so I actually don't have a womp womp of the week in mind. I mean, the one that I have in mind is obviously Cheetah, Agent Orange. He's the one that I have in mind, because every day this week, he has provided me with some level of entertainment. For those of you who are following, you know, in the Instagram, like, you've seen the buffoonery each and every day. Like, I mean, he's calling this thing the Chinese virus, right? Like, I mean, how? Yes, we understand that, you know, there was an origin or whatever of it coming from China. But by him calling it the Chinese virus, we are literally seeing like these hate crimes rising against the Chinese community. And so, I mean, something like that, like, it's crazy. It's crazy that this is what's, this is the rhetoric, I guess, right, from the president. But I mean, I don't know. It's crazy, but we were expecting it. Like, it's not shocking to any of us, which in and of itself is crazy. But I think for me, the womp womp of the week, if I have to come up with one, because there is a lot out there, it's just hard to dig up nowadays. But I would say the womp womp of the week is the hoarders. Stop hoarding the toilet paper. Thank God I have some toilet paper. But there were a lot of people who do not have toilet paper. Stop hoarding the toilet paper. Stop hoarding the Clorox wipes. I mean, people actually need to clean their homes, especially where we're in our houses now. We're using the bathroom more. We're using the kitchen more. We need to clean our homes. And we're not able to do so because people are literally stockpiling cleaning supplies and toilet paper and paper towels in their homes to do what? To sell on the black market? Because I'm sure that market is crashed. You know, it's crazy. So stop hoarding, everyday supplies. Like, stop it. I would also say this to the people who are hoarding masks, to stop hoarding the masks. I probably should have a box of masks in my house, but I don't. I don't have them. Meanwhile, there are people out here who are very, very healthy, just walking around with boxes of masks in their homes. Meanwhile, there's apparently a shortage in our hospitals and our medical facilities that have to treat people. Like, our first responders do not have masks because we have people chilling in their houses wearing masks. And they're not even contagious. They don't even have the coronavirus. So let's stop this, people. Like, we really need to work together. There are individuals who are in real need of these items, and you have them hanging out in your basement. Like, that's not cool. That's not humane. So I would say those are the people that get my womp womp of the week. So before I go in and talk a little bit about what this New York State pause situation is and this executive order mandating non-essential employees to stay their asses home, I did want to bring a little bit of humor. Well, maybe it's not humorous for everyone, but some of the crazy things that people are doing because of the coronavirus. So this actually came from the Daily Nation. It's a publication or online publication. And I thought it was very interesting because I think that, you know, I mean, I've been watching Instagram. I literally see people going crazy before my eyes just by the way that they're posting on social media. I know that the cabin fever is real. I mean, some of us have experienced, you know, some of these natural disasters that have forced us to be inside for like maybe 2 days without electricity. But this right here is going to be very interesting. From what I understand, the number of domestic disputes have risen. In New York City, I feel like everyone I know who lives like in the buildings or on the blocks or whatever have definitely seen a 5-0 report to their building or to their neighborhood because somebody was yelling at somebody. Somebody punched out somebody. I mean, this is very interesting. We're in very interesting times now. I mean, we are in a time where, you know, the workplace, as crazy as it can be for most of us, many of us who are living in like large families, like if you still live at home with your parents or even with the spouse that you actually don't really like, but you just refuse to divorce, you know, the work and school was a place to escape our everyday lives, right? It was a way to escape the people in our lives that we actually don't really like very much. But unfortunately, unfortunately, because of the coronavirus, we are forced to quarantine with people that we are related to or married to or in a relationship with that we actually don't really like that much. So this is very painful for the people who actually don't like their spouses or their significant others, people who don't like their family members very much. Daughters who have problematic mothers and now you're forced to be under the same roof. This is a very, very trying time. So I totally understand how domestic disputes are rising, because now you're forcing people who generally would not be in each other's faces for 8 to 12 to 16 hours a day. Now you're forcing them to be under the same roof and interact with each other in limited spaces, mind you. I know one of my friends last week was telling me how her kids were just like, you know, we miss our teacher. We miss our friends. Our teachers are cool. And for children to say that their teachers are cool, I mean, we know that we're living in desperate times. So people are definitely doing some crazy, crazy, crazy things. And so I just wanted to kind of talk about some of the things that I came across on online. So this one's called Panic Plane. So in the United States here, because we're going to be, there's some of the stuff that's taken place overseas as well too. But the United Airlines plane that was headed from Eagle, Colorado to Newark, New Jersey was diverted. I think this might have been last Sunday to Denver International Airport. Reason being, an individual who was coughing and sneezing caused panic in a small group of people who raised a ruckus over fears that the passenger may be sick with the Rona. Well, they didn't say the Rona in the article, but you know what I mean. The incident forced the plane to change course. But as it turns out, the sneezing passenger simply had allergies, with the airline saying the incident was in no way a medical situation. The sneezy passenger was evaluated and allowed to stay on the flight. Now, I kind of feel these people on the train, because let me tell you, the moment I hear somebody cough, my eyes are already like, whoa. In fact, this morning, my son, who's normally a sneezer because he does have seasonal allergies, he's normally a sneezer. He, you know, I'm used to his sneezing in the morning. This morning, I heard three distinct coughs coming from his room. Now, after the first cough, I was like, okay, maybe he's clearing his throat. But then there were two more follow-up coughs. From my room, I had to yell out, are you good? Because we can't have that in this house. You might have to stay in your room until we can contain the situation. So then he was like, nah, I'm good, Mom. I'm like, are you sure? Are you sure? Because I will do what I need to do to protect myself in this house. He has not coughed since. He does not have a fever. He told me that he he woke up on the wrong side of the bed. So this coughing situation is real. Anybody, and I don't even think sneezing is actually part of the symptoms list, but most people don't care anymore. If you're coughing, wheezing, sneezing, whatever it is that you're doing, you will get the death stare, and people will expect you to remove yourself immediately. So we talked about this. Well, I talked about this a little bit earlier, but face mask sanitizer hoarding. So apparently there is a worldwide shortage of face masks, with people hoarding them despite assurances by the health workers that they may not be effective in preventing the general public from catching the coronavirus. And it's interesting because my mom, who's a healthcare worker, she was just like, you know, come quarantine at my house. And I was like, nah, I'm good. And she's like, I have masks over here. It's like people are using this as a way to entice, like, I got masks. And I was just like, no, I think I'm fine, because I don't plan on leaving my house. But outside of the healthcare workers, again, people are literally hoarding boxes of these masks. And now we have like a shortage for people who actually really, really need it. Now, what really sucks about this is that I wish I was thinking, because I could have maybe jumped in on some of this stock, this face mask company stock or whatever, because apparently, according to the Nielsen data, sales for medical face masks in the country jumped 319% in the period ending on February 22nd. So I guess I missed out on that stock. Now, toilet paper brawls. We talked about this a little earlier as well. So apparently, panic buying in a time of coronavirus is not just limited to the face mask, but toilet paper. So apparently there's this video that was going viral of these three Australian women fighting over toilet paper. And again, It's, I mean, I haven't seen any reports with respect to the benefits of toilet paper for the coronavirus. Maybe people are making masks with the toilet paper. I'm trying to understand because it's toilet paper. You just need it to wipe your butt, right? You just need it to wipe yourself. You know, that's what we use toilet paper for, i.e., hence the term toilet paper. But maybe people are being creative. Maybe we're the ones who are, I don't know, maybe we're not thinking outside the box. Maybe there's something with this toilet paper, which is why people are going crazy over it. But basically, in the video, the three women could be seen grabbing each other, exchanging blows. So this was not just like I'll grab the toilet paper pack from you and whatever. These women were literally throwing bowls, like elbows at each other, like knocking each other out over toilet paper. Either way, clearly the toilet paper situation is not just, you know, a fiasco in Australia. It's all over the world. But interestingly enough, you know, we're hearing about this here in the US, but apparently it's not just us Americans who are going crazy for toilet paper. Apparently, similar situations are taking place in Singapore, Japan, and Hong Kong. And just last month, armed robbers stole pallets in Hong Kong following panic buying, which again induced shortages over there. So people are going crazy. Apparently, there's a bit of alcohol poisoning going on in Iran. So in Iran, one of the most bizarre reactions to the epidemic is that people are drinking industrial grade ethanol and methanol in a misguided effort to protect themselves from infection. So when I'm saying alcohol poisoning, I'm not saying that they took the Henny bottle to the head and now they have alcohol poisoning. No, this is ethanol and methanol. People in Iran are drinking ethanol and methanol to fight to protect themselves from the infection. Apparently, this has led to devastating effects, and 14 people are now dead over the alcohol poisoning as hospitals in the area are seeing an increase in similar cases. People are going crazy. People are going crazy. Now, there's a lot more, obviously, where that comes from, but I would have to be here all day to talk about the craziness that people are are doing in the midst of this struggle. But I, you know, it's one of those things where I kind of get it because people are scared and they don't understand, especially if they're maybe coming from regions where there is a lack of education. And so some of these might have been, you know, myths, like, you know, cultural myths. I don't know. I know within the Haitian community, we have seen a lot of these reposts of our parents and their coronavirus elixirs, as I like to call them, these mixtures of ginger, garlic, lemon, cloves. I don't know. There's like a whole bunch of other things, onions, all up in a jar, and you're supposed to drink it, honey, and all that is supposed to, you know, protect you from the coronavirus. The difference between what, you know, the Haitians are doing and what the people in Iran are doing is that the Haitian potion, the Haitian elixir is not going to kill you. It might not taste good. It might make you want to throw up, but it's not going to kill you. And actually, it might boost your immune system. I mean, I grew up on these things. And I mean, when I was a kid, at least I was fine. So maybe if I drink some more of these elixirs, maybe I would be doing much better in my adulthood. But funny enough, speaking of, I guess, you know, bulletproof elixirs and bulletproof or corona proof, mechanisms and tactics. I was on the phone with my mother this morning. She was checking in on me, making sure that I was doing okay. Because, you know, I have some health concerns. So, you know, this Rona thing is a little scary, right? And she was like, make sure you chop some onions and put them in a bowl. Put it in every room in the house. Put a little bowl of onion in every room in the house because it's supposed to draw out the toxins in the space. And it's interesting because I think it was earlier this week, Success Junior who's a Haitian American comedian, who likes to pose as his mother a lot of times in his skits, actually had a skit, I guess, where he had, like, his mother had made the Haitian elixir. And every time he entered a room, there was a little bowl with chopped white onions in the corner of the room. And when I saw it, I thought it was so funny, but I didn't quite, you know, I got it, but I didn't get it until my mother this morning mentioned the onion thing. I was like, is this? I swear to God, my mother and Success Junior's mother were sitting on the same bench in Haiti, because I swear everything that he says, my mother also does. Now, the thing is, we're in a time of crisis. I don't have onions to spare. I need to be cooking with my onions, not to be cutting them up and placing them all over my house. I don't know if you guys have done this before, or if you swear by it, or if you've heard these stories about the onions in every room is supposed to remove the toxins. Please slide up in my DM, because if it's gonna help me, you know, maybe I'll make the sacrifice and I'll buy an extra bag of onions. If not, you know, just let me know, because we don't have money to be buying vegetables and stuff for experimentation purposes. You know what I mean? So moving on to, I guess, some of the more important stuff. Now we're going to get our serious hats on, because New York is on pause, right? And it's not just New York that's on pause. Well, New York is on pause. Other states are on lockdown. So I know as of yesterday, Jersey followed suit and put their lockdown on. I think it was as of 9 p.m. tonight, actually. Jersey goes on lockdown. So non-essential employees will have to stay their asses at home. New York, however, as of 8 p.m. today, all non-essential businesses have to close. And sorry, that was not a Rona cough. It was a clearing of my throat. And all non-essential workers have to stay home. So New York on pause. What does this pause actually mean? Well, pause stands for policies assure uniform safety, everyone. So Governor Cuomo put the city on pause. He has an executive order, and he decided that this is what's going to be best for New York City. And many people agree with him, right? Because as we've seen, this coronavirus situation is New York State, I think as of this morning, Governor Cuomo had actually posted some stats, which I think might be the most accurate, you know, that I've seen. But the most impacted states in the U.S., New York is at the top. I mean, New York is always leading in everything. This is one thing that I would not have mind being the last for. But either way, New York is at this moment 15,168 cases of coronavirus, 114 deaths. Second, Washington State, 1,647, 96 cases and 96 deaths. Do we see how New York has 15,000 and the second leading only has 1,647? It's crazy. Now, obviously, New York has a lot more people, and we are literally living on top of each other as opposed to other states that can, you know, that have homes and they're, you know, they're on maybe an acre or two, but either way, they're a little more spread out. But this is crazy. And so this is one of the reasons why Cuomo was like, New York needs to be put on pause. And so what does this necessarily mean for us? Like, when we're hearing terms like essential business, right? Essential this, essential that. What does that actually mean? What does the word essential mean? Who are these essential workers? What are these essential businesses? So this is according to the Governor Cuomo plan, the guidance that was issued. And this is more so dealing with New York State. I know we have listeners who come, you know, who listen from other states, but I'm pretty sure if your state's not on lockdown, it's about to be on lockdown. Jersey's on lockdown. I'm pretty sure Maryland's about to be on lockdown soon. And the surrounding, I'm pretty sure you guys are about to be on a lockdown. So, you know, this information may be helpful for you as well. So some of the industries that we're considering essential. So essential healthcare operations. What does that include? Research, laboratory services, hospitals, walk-in care health facilities, emergency vet and livestock services. Because in this time of crisis, we need to keep our animals safe too. Elder care, medical wholesale and distribution, home health care workers or aides for the elderly, doctor and emergency dental, nursing homes or residential health care facilities or congregate care facilities, etc. Essential infrastructure. What does that include? Utilities, including power generation, fuel supply and transmission, public water and wastewater, telecommunications and data centers, airports, airlines, transportation infrastructure such as bus, rail, or for hire vehicles, garages, etc. Now, I don't know if the dollar van is covered under these essential infrastructure, right? Because we all know that the dollar van, I'm not sure if it's been legalized, really. I don't know, but I don't know if dollar van is underneath. So those of you on Utica and on Flatbush who rely on the dollar van, I'm not really sure whether or not they're going to be running. Hotels and places of accommodation. So hotels will be open. Although the industry is crumbling, the hotels will be, you know, will be open and other places of accommodation. Essential manufacturing includes food processing, manufacturing agents, including all food and beverages, chemicals, medical equipment and instruments, pharmaceuticals, sanitary products, telecommunications, microelectronics, semiconductor, agriculture, farms, household paper products. So these manufacturing type plants will still be in production, because I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, with, I guess this is why people think there's not going to be any toilet paper, because they're going to close the toilet paper plants. Well, they're not. So stop hoarding the toilet paper. Essential retails include grocery stores, including all food and beverage stores. So your corner store, your bodegas, they're going to be open. Because in a lot of our neighborhoods, the bodega is the grocery store. So they're supposed to be open. Pharmacies. So CVS, I don't know if Rabinowitz Pharmacy is going to be open, but CVS is going to be open. Walgreens is going to be open. At least the major ones are going to be open. Can't say for the local mom and pops. Convenience stores. Farmers markets. Now, I don't know. I know New York loves their farmers markets. I'm not sure if I would be attending a farmers market, but hey, they're going to be, they're supposed to be in function, I guess. Gas stations, restaurants, bars, but only for takeout or delivery. So those of you who have Uber Eats, seamless, you'll still be able to order your food. Although I'm not really sure how much of that I would promote, because we don't know if the cook has the Rona, right? I think that's the fear. We don't know, like, who's cooking the food, who's coughing on our food. We don't know. The driver who goes to pick it up, do we know if they have the Rona? No. So this is the time for those of you who don't know how to cook. I understand. I mean, I personally don't understand, because I do know how to cook, but I could, you know, maybe sympathize. I don't empathize. I don't know. I can understand where, you know, the frustration might come from. But this might be the time to figure it out. Figure out how to cook. Maybe this is time to go on that, you know, that all fruits diet. Maybe this is the time. Maybe you're just going to be eating frozen meals. I don't know. But I would not necessarily suggest ordering food blindly from restaurants and then having them picked up by a random ass person who might have the Rona. Because this thing, especially in New York City, I mean, New York State, we have 15,000 cases. In Brooklyn alone, I think, I don't know, maybe like a couple thousand at this point. So we have to be careful. We have to be vigilant, because this thing is real. Hardware and building material stores. So they will still be open. Essential services. Trash and recycling collection will still be going on. So they're going to be collecting our trash. Mail and shipping. So these Amazon packages that you're hoping that are supposed to come in real quick before, you know, I guess there's a larger ban. At least we know that the mailing and shipping services will, you know, still be in continuation. So hopefully you will be able to get your Amazon packages. Laundromats. Many of us do not have laundromats in our building or in our homes. We rely on the laundromats. We cannot, you know, the virus is here, yes, but we cannot be walking around our apartments or our homes with dirty clothes. We can't do that. So the laundromats are going to stay open. Building, cleaning, and maintenance. That's going to be still, you know, an industry that's going to still be out and about. Childcare services, auto repair, warehouse distribution and fulfillment, funeral homes, crematoriums, and cemeteries. Now, from what I understand, there's no funerals taking place because it's going to be more than a certain amount of people, you know, in the one space. And I think there's a ban on that. So there's no like services happening, but people still going to get buried. I just don't know how that's going to work out. Storage for essential businesses and animal shelters. News media is still going to be functioning. Financial institutions such as banks, because a lot of you guys were wondering if the banks were going to be open or closed. Banks will still be running. Insurance will still be going on. Payroll, accounting, services related to financial markets. Providers of basic necessities to economically disadvantaged populations. So the homeless shelters, the food banks, the human services will still be in operation. Construction. So skilled trades such as electricians and plumbers, which means if your toilet gets stocked up, you can call the plumber. The plumber can come to your house. Other related construction firms and professionals for essential infrastructure or for emergency repair and safety purposes. Defense. So the defense and national security related operations will still be intact. Essentials necessary to maintain the safety, sanitation, and essential operation of businesses and residents. So NYPD will still be locking people up. They'll still be arresting people. They'll still be in the streets to also maintain order. Fire prevention and response, building code enforcement, security, emergency management and response, building cleaners or janitors, general maintenance, whether employed by the entity, or a vendor, automotive repair and disinfection. And I think there's so vendors that provide essential services. So again, childcare programs and services. So a lot of these after school programs, tutoring programs, I think are still going to be able to function. Government owned or leased buildings, essential government services, etc. So those are essentially what essential, you know, businesses are. And so workers who are within those realms will, I guess, be working. It might be from home, but they will be working. I forgot a very important business that will be open during this shutdown: liquor stores. Apparently, liquor stores is considered an essential business. It is considered an essential business. So liquor stores will be open. So for those of us who are lucky enough to have a liquor store on your block, you do not have to go too far to get that Henny, to get that wine. Because again, we are in very desperate times, in very dire times. And it's important for us to be able to self-medicate. Although I am not advocating for it, Jesus is always the way. But if you need to self-medicate, listen, at this point, I can't, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So with that being said, I think with all of these, you know, entities and businesses that are going to be open, like the laundromat, things that we're going to be using on a day-to-day basis or once a week basis, the grocery store, etc., you still have to practice, you know, the proper hygiene methods, right? Like even at the gas station, I was seeing a lot of posts and a lot of, you know, WhatsApp message threads about, you know, the coronavirus spreading through, you know, I guess at the gas station pumps, because people are holding the pumps with their hands and then they're putting it back and then somebody else is grabbing it with their bare hands, and then that's how it's also transmitting. Now, I don't know if it's really occurring at the alarming rate that these WhatsApp messages have me thinking that they are, like these high alert messages that I'm getting on WhatsApp from everybody. But I do think that there's some truth to it, because I think the CDC, it was earlier this week, gave a little more explanation and clarification as to how this coronavirus is actually spreading. It's airborne. I remember at one point, I think they were saying it was not airborne. Well, apparently it is airborne as well, where these little droplets, so when somebody coughs and sneezes or whatever it is, the droplets are still able to survive in the air for up to 3 hours. And on actual hard surfaces, which I believe is plastic and stainless steel, the virus can live up to 3 days. So imagine going to the CVS and grabbing the cart with your bare hands without, you know, sanitizing it first, and somebody who had touched it prior to you has the Rona and held on to that, you know, that's, and then you're touching your face, wiping your mouth and all this other stuff. That is one way that I think maybe one of the most common ways that people are actually spreading this thing. And so as you're going to the laundromat, as you're going to, you know, the gas station, as you're going to the grocery store, you know, wear gloves and make sure that you're not using the same gloves you were using yesterday because of a shortage. You know what I mean? Because that doesn't really help either. You use the glove, you throw it out. Make sure you are carrying your hand sanitizer. If you cannot find hand sanitizer, apparently on YouTube, they're showing you how to make your own natural, not the chemical, because we all heard about what happened at 7-Eleven where homegirl was making the homemade 7-Eleven that burnt like 4 kids. But apparently there, and I think she was using chemicals, but apparently there's natural ways, like with aloe vera. I think I was watching a Instagram clip where somebody used like 100-proof Ray and Nephew along with the rubbing alcohol and aloe, and then they add a little lemon zest. So, you know, so there is a way to make like a natural hand sanitizer. So use that, or if you just have the pure rubbing alcohol, rub that on your hands. Or if you just have cases of Ray and Nephew at your house, then you might want to just use that to sanitize your hands. I mean, I'm not a doctor, so I cannot tell you that Ray and Nephew is going to cure, not cure the Rona, but, you know, I guess, kill the germs on your hands. I would do a little more research if I were you, but I know what 150 proof alcohol is, and I feel like if that can't kill the germs on your hands, then nothing will. So I think the moral of the story through all of this, we're all trying to figure this out. We're all stressed. Every day it's a new theory. Every day it's a new story. Every day it's looking more grim. But I think that there are a lot of people out here who are really just trying to mobilize those who, you know, those who can to help those who can't. And I think that, you know, this is the time where there needs to be more solidarity amongst us. There needs to be, you know, a lot more checking in on each other because, you know, as much as I say that I don't like people, which is very ironic, you know, to some people, that human interaction is very important. And right now, everything is digital. Everything is being conducted online, on WhatsApp groups, on messengers, on Zoom. And we're lacking that human interaction that can be maddening. It can be maddening. I mean, I only feel for the people who are quarantining, you know, in their own homes by themselves. Like, this has to be crazy. And it's supposed to only get worse. And so I just, you know, hope that all of you guys take courage. Pray that you all take courage through this time that everybody is, you know, everybody's going through it in one way, shape, or the other. And, you know, as much as I can do from the radio waves, from the Instagram waves and Facebook and whatever other platforms I use to communicate, I will do my best to share, you know, repost, you know, good things that I see happening, useful information, but also to keep you guys entertained because we have to laugh sometimes. Like, this stuff is crazy. And so we have to be able to sit back and laugh and talk about something that's just not the Rona. Like, this episode was more so informative because there's been a lot of development in the last couple of days, and especially since we are on lockdown as of 8 p.m. today in New York City and Jersey 9 p.m. and I'm pretty sure there's going to be more and more states to follow. It's important that we're aware of what's happening and what's going on, and, you know, what does essential mean, what does non-essential mean. For those of you who have been laid off temporarily from work, you know, and you're not sure whether or not you're going to qualify for unemployment, make sure that you call the Department of Labor, you know, tomorrow. You know, don't sit on it. Like, check to see if you're available. Sometimes the employers aren't really giving us information. And if they do give us information, they give us false information. Some of us have been laid off in very shady and shisty ways. And you want to find out whether or not it was, you know, lawful for you to be either laid off or terminated in the way that you were. I believe that knowledge is power. And if you don't know, find out, you know, figure out how you're going to know, because right now every dollar counts. You know, we can't just let money go by the wayside. So if you're owed money, then you need to call the Department of Labor. You can go onto their website. I think you could click on their unemployment assistance tab, like if you're not able to actually get through, because I would imagine that the phone lines are crazy right now. But definitely go onto the Department of Labor website, click on the unemployment assistance tab, and it should be able to give you all the information you need to decide to see whether or not you're going to qualify. And if the information is still not clear to you, then you definitely want to, I think there might be another way to contact them, if not by the phone, to really find out. I mean, and if you don't get them once, I mean, what else are we doing all day, right? We're home anyway, so you might as well just have them on speaker and, you know, go about your business until somebody picks up the phone. The other thing I will say before I end this episode is that, again, for those of us who have been laid off, who have been furloughed, who have been terminated because of this coronavirus situation, start doing an assessment of your bills like right now. You should have been doing it yesterday, but do it right now. Take, you know, into account, what are you spending your money at? What is coming out of your checking account every month? Call the bills that you currently have and see what they can do for you. A lot of the phone carriers, the cell phone carriers, are putting accounts on pause for the next 60 days. And so you don't want to be delinquent. I know some people are like, yeah, you know what? They'll get their money when they get their money. That's cool and everything, but it's about relationships. You want to be able to keep and maintain the relationships you've had with your service providers. So if that means calling them and saying, hey, I lost my job, but I want to keep my phone on. I don't want to be delinquent. What can you do for me? Now, if they can't do nothing for you, then at that point, you're like, well, you're just not going to get my money. You know, I have to do what I have to do. But, you know, you'll be surprised if you take the step and you reach out first and not just let your bill get shut off or, you know, not pay. You'll be surprised who will be willing to assist, because this is a global crisis. It's a global pandemic. And so it's not like you're trying to get over. People are losing their jobs, you know? And so these companies, a lot of them are understanding when it comes to things like, you know, your cell phone bill. You know, for the parents, for people who have somebody, a student K through 12 in their household. So it's not just for parents, but, you know, if you are an auntie and you have your nephew or whatever it is at your house, if you don't already have cable, you can get free cable from Spectrum and / Optimum for the next 60 days, because tomorrow a lot of our kids are going to be starting remote learning. And so we need to make sure that we're hooked up with the internet so that our kids can continue to get the education or, you know, some variation of an education for the rest of the year and throughout this crisis, to give them something else to do rather than, you know, twiddle their thumbs or play video games. So it is a time to be a little proactive when it comes to your finances. I would say that within the last 2 days, 3 days, I have cut, you know, I cut the cable, I cut a lot of things, and I was able to call my, you know, my bills and let them know what's going on and be able to get some sort of deferment or forbearance for the next couple of months, as I'm not going to be getting a paycheck. So being proactive, you know, is important. And I know it can be a little difficult, it could be a little frustrating, and it could be a little disheartening, because you're kind of like, man, like, I can't believe this is happening to me. But I think the point here is that it's happening to a lot of people. So you're not the only person that's dealing with this, because it is a blow. You know, when you're a professional and you worked hard and you thought that you were in like a position, or you worked for a company that, you know, would, I guess, I don't know, would keep you on or would, you know, would prepare better, maybe. I don't know. I guess this really goes to show that a lot of our companies and a lot of our employers and a lot of our systems, you know, there is a lack of preparedness. So I'm hoping that, you know, when the case study for this coronavirus situation comes out, that's, you know, a portion of it is going to be looking at the emergency preparedness of not just the state of New York, not just the Northeast, not just the United States, but the world. And I know that every time there is a natural disaster, we always go back to, you know, how do we prepare? How do we you know, set ourselves up if, you know, if there is in a natural disaster? But this coronavirus is a disaster. It might not be a quote unquote maybe natural disaster in the same realm of a tornado or a hurricane or a tsunami, but this virus, this pandemic, it's crippled our economy. It's crippled economies all over the world. And so I'm hoping that there is going to be a team of scientists, social workers, you know, anthropologists and all of the ologists that are going to come together and really sit back and analyze, you know, business structures, the economy, and, you know, the different spaces, and see how can we better prepare for the next disaster. Because this response of firing people like the next day or with one day notice business is crazy. And I understand now we are pretty much in a recession, but that doesn't mean that we cannot plan for the future. And although nobody saw something like this coming, some sort of emergency preparedness plan should have been in place. Because we've seen swine flu, we've seen SARS, and although, again, it has not risen to this level, this magnitude, we've seen, you know, some sort of semblance of this type of warfare before, right? So I don't know. I just hope that there is a definitely a deep dive study into this, and there is some sort of preparedness plan that is put together so that we can be more prepared when something like this happens. And so with that being said, everyone, I hope you guys have a wonderful week. I'm still going to wish you guys a wonderful week because we have to think positive. We have to be positive. You know, this break that we're having, and I'm calling it a break because when you really sit back and you think about it, this isn't essentially a break for a lot of us who otherwise would never be able to have a break. It sucks. This is not how I wanted my break to be. But, you know, many of us never had time to spend with our family members or with our loved ones or our significant others because of the hustle and bustle, right? We had to do what we had to do. Now we're forced to be in the same spaces with our loved ones. And for those of us who actually like our loved ones, you know, this is actually time that we should, you know, use well. You know, let's crack out those family games. Let's do those family movie nights. Let's actually have a real conversation beyond how was your day. Like, what's going on? What's been going on with you the last couple of months, the last couple of weeks, the last couple of days? This is probably the only time that a lot of us will be able to really see our loved ones and our friends and families and whatnot. So I definitely encourage you guys to take this time to spend, you know, to spend it with your loved ones, to self-care. I know for me, that's my biggest challenge is self-care. And right now, like, I have my yoga mat. I kind of decluttered my room a little bit to make sure that the feng shui is is flowing in my room. I have my aroma, you know, my aromatherapy mist that's blowing in my room. And I just am trying to kind of get myself centered and get myself to a point where I am de-stressed and, you know, I'm doing better. I'm going to be exercising. So I'm really going to take advantage of this time to also be creative and to just think. A lot of us just needed to sit back and think, but we never had the opportunity to do it. And although this is the suckiest way to get a break, it's a break that we're forced to take. So what are you going to do with your time? Are you going to come up with the next million-dollar plan after all this is over? Because life is still going to continue. It might be a little different, but it's still going to continue. Are you going to write that book that you always said you wanted to write but never had the time to do it? Now you have 2 to 3 months to just sit down and write and think. Think first and then write. You know, this is the opportunity for us to really be creative and to really, really figure out, like, what is our next step? Maybe you were working somewhere that was horrible, but you're like, man, I like that paycheck though. So maybe this is a time to create something for yourself or to figure out, you know what? I actually didn't like what I did before. I really do love this, and to get into whatever it is that you love. So although there's a lot going on, a lot of negativity, a lot of scariness happening, we have to find the silver lining in everything that happens, right? In everything that we do, we have to find the silver lining. I don't know what, you know, the purpose of all this was, but it's happening, and we got to move forward. And it's hard because some days I'm like, man, I can't do this anymore. But then I have to be like, no, I'm here for a reason. Something's going to give. The situation sucks, but we're going to come out on top. So with that being said, everyone, I say that a lot. That's like one of my key phrases. With that being said, I do hope you guys have a great week. Make it a productive week, but also a laid back week. We don't have work to report to. Be creative, be productive, but on, you know, a very relaxed schedule. Take this time to breathe. Take this time to exercise, do your yoga, drink your smoothies. And, you know, just find you, right? So thank you for tuning into another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, stay healthy, stay alive, and talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.
Same